Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I'm J.O. Covan, sitting in a cushy chair in the new location of Slickback Studios. Same old producer, though. Producer Mike.
That's right. Here I am, folks, in a new booth that I still haven't really decorated or I'm barely centered. It's going to be... Listen, folks. J.O., back to you. I have
Joe Biden is producing the show today.
we're gonna defeat Medicare.
We got, come on, man. We're in Brooklyn. Slick back. You gotta doing a TV show, man.
Do you feel out of whack because it's like a new setup and it's a new sort of this is? I mean, it's a lot to get used to.
Yeah. What I don't like is people who like the show, and there are dozens. I have a very, the desk gives me a sort of, it's like my resolute desk.
It's where authority.
It gives me a framework, a stability to expound and deliver news and opinions with authority. Whereas this is kind of like, JL, so why are you so angry?
Yeah. I mean, this is a 1 week fix. We needed this. Our usual table is not in the right place for the listeners. It's about 500 pounds, I think, this table. It's a big brick of concrete. And I also realized when we moved, because we went from one place in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to another place in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, I realized I don't have chairs for the table. The chairs that we had were from the last office. They just gave us chairs. So when we moved, I had to leave them behind. And I ordered new ones, but they're not here yet. So you're sitting in a chair that I wouldn't say you look comfortable in.
Yeah, no, I never, you know, from birth at 10 pounds, 7 ounces to whatever obscenely long casket they put me in, I will never be comfortable, cradle to the grave.
Yeah.
But that was a good intro, I think. The algorithm's going to like that. Yeah. Moving stories, logistics, I'm going to label this under, you know, like home repair on YouTube and see if maybe that juices us into a different kind of algorithm.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to talk about, and this is becoming almost a running joke. I wanted to talk about bikes, and it's seeming like more and more mundane and weird topic.
Oh, we are doing bikes?
Not today.
Oh, okay.
But I keep wanting to, because it's sort of, the show is already shifting a little because we're in the heat of politics, and it's one of the things that I'm fairly well-versed on and speak pretty well. I really don't care what the algorithm likes at this point.
Yeah.
But it's sort of hard to avoid politics at this point if you're me.
Yeah.
But bikes, I keep promising it. And it could be like our running joke, like by episode 200, we're talking bikes next, like Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
But, and that sounds to some people like, what are you going to talk about? Trust me, I have an entire episode planned around trashing anything with two wheels.
Sure.
But we had a lot of news in the last week since we last spoke. And thanks to everybody who rented God and Country. It's still available for another like 3.5 weeks through the show notes last week. It's a great movie, but based on the numbers, nobody's interested. Which is, you know, I hate it when they don't show interest in what I do, because that strikes me as odd. But when a guest with a great product, you know,
comes into our house with our family,
and they are treated poorly, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
So to answer Sebastian Maniscalco, yes, I am embarrassed. It's a great movie, and I don't know. I know we have people of the right demo, of the right interests, that this is a movie they should be into. It's great. I mean, what do you have, something against Rob Reiner? Did you not like The Princess Bride or A Few Good Men? Is he not good enough for you? Rain on your parade, people? Or are you just trying to rain on my parade? Maybe they're like a little payback, JL. We'll deny ourselves great, great works to piss you off. But anyway, go check it out. It's in the show notes last week on YouTube and audio. But a couple big things. Thank you, by the way, everybody who showed up in D.C. The shows were great. I was even greater. And it was wonderful to be down there despite the disgusting weather in the nation's capital. Next shows, I have nothing in July. So if you want to see me do legal work, come on to Bloomfield, New Jersey and watch me stare at a screen for 8 to 9 hours a day. But in August, I'm at Punchline in Philly, August 15th. And then I am in September going places.
Great.
Yeah, there will be places, and October as well. So get your tickets. Find on my website where those places are. Chicago in October, St. Paul, Minnesota, that's right. St. Paul, Minnesota, Rutherford, New Jersey, New York City, Chicago. Fun times. Everything's on my website. Okay, enough housekeeping. Supreme Court. Now, I know, Mike, you're raring to talk about the debate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know what? I don't think we need to divide this in one or two because they're all part of the same sort of discussion.
Yeah.
Supreme Court, Donald Trump's trials, the debate with Joe Biden. We're at a very this is a lot more serious than people realize. And before I get into all my takes, Mike, what did you think of the debate? Did you do a little bit of a victory lap around the apartment and say, can't wait to clap back at all of JL's haters?
I was working with Keith Olbermann that night, actually. It was very interesting to watch it with him because I was producing his live stream for iHeart, and he was I was watching him as he was prepping for the debate. Mm-hmm. We're watching it kind of together and everything. And I would say that as I was watching it, to be honest with you, I thought Biden won and did a great job. I really do. I'm serious, dude. Like, I are you shocked to hear that?
I'm shocked to hear anyone say that, let alone you.
All right, so here's why I think that I came to this conclusion.
And of course, don't get me wrong. Yes, there is a way to come to that conclusion. It's not that that's shocking. It's just when we accept on the terms of what presidential debates have become.
Yes.
I don't know if there's a way you can say Biden won. You can say you can say he won because Trump did nothing but lie for an hour and a half, but Biden, you know, had one mission. Trump's mission, as we may have joked, Trump's mission was not to sexually assault anybody for 90 minutes. Yep. And if he did that, he would show the proper discipline to run the country, according to Republicans. And yeah. Biden, his one job was to look alive, and he failed in that. And I said this in D.C. I said, everybody's talking about Trump. Oh, he's more disciplined, and that was the bar. Joe Biden was dead. Can you imagine after they resuscitate him how well he'll debate when he's alive? He was dead. He shuffled onto that stage and looked literally like a corpse before the Undertaker puts on makeup.
So this is why I came to the conclusion that I came to. I was texting with a friend of mine, who another former comedian, my friend Matt Lajeski, really smart guy, writer. He's got a great Substack. Matt and I were kind of saying the same thing, where for our expectations, I mean, this has been the big issue for 9 months now, hasn't it? Like, that I've been saying to you, he's fucking really old.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in the Democratic Party have been trying to pretend that he's not. And I think that there's been this really, it's almost like leading up to this debate, there was this sort of like traitor aspect to being a Democrat and saying like, well, Biden's really fucking old. Don't you think he's kind of old?
Right.
Where it's sort of like, you traitor, like, how bad could it be? Are you really going to vote for Trump? And like, of course, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm never going to vote for him. But I knew that he was like this for a year now, longer. I almost felt this way the last time he was running. You know, he wasn't obviously this bad in those debates.
But if you see those, have you seen clips of those debates compared to this one? Like, he.
No, but I obviously know that he was better.
He looks 15 years younger, right, if that's possible, because My thing on this that people, another thing that people don't sort of appreciate is Donald Trump did not age in the White House.
Yeah.
For two reasons. He wears makeup.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give a shit.
Right.
So
the stress isn't getting to him.
The stress doesn't get to him. The only times Donald Trump looked haggard as president were when he lost.
Yeah.
And that famous photo of him with like the tie down, he looked. And then like at trial when he was convicted.
Yeah.
Because those affected him personally. The fate of the country, people, those just don't affect him.
Right.
He cares about himself only. And as long as he's president, he's like, I have the most powerful job in the world, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
But Biden, A, is aging. He was the oldest person to ever take the office. And those years, those late 70s to mid 80s, those can be years. I saw it with my father. Those can be years that age the shit out of you. Even if you're if you're an aging well person, those are sort of the years that will really go, oh God, I saw him like 2 years ago. He's really aged since then. And Biden also cares a lot. So it's the worst possible storm of the White House aging someone, which is like you're the oldest person ever in the White House by a decade. And you care. So he looked like a corpse coming out there. Now, I think that's partly the fault of his handlers.
No, I don't. I think he's that old.
No. But he was at a rally the next night in Raleigh.
Yeah.
And he looked vibrant. He looked like he had a tan.
But that's not a pressure situation.
No. But when I tell you that, like, did they say go au naturel on camera? Like, 81-year-old man go out there with no makeup?
Yeah.
Just TV makeup. I'm not Trump where you're a fucking drag queen.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it was just, he looked atrocious and he looked better one day later. And if he had a cold, I think it's more worth it to say, cancel the debate, say he's sick.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree with that.
Take the hit
on
saying he was sick. Take the 3 days of that. Because they can speculate all they want, but they can't prove it. But when you get out there and you're going, we beat Medicare.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But I'll tell you that. So again, like coming to the conclusion that I came to, he met every single one of my expectations. He did exactly like it, for he to me, he didn't seem out of it because I was expecting it to be that bad, I think. And I think that. It was literally what I was expecting it to be. It didn't stray at all from what I was expecting it to be. I figured like we're in peak presidential circus, and I don't know. I literally looked back at it, and I was texting with Matt, and we were both just like, "Yeah, dude. I think he's winning this debate. Trump hasn't said anything of substance really, and I know that really doesn't matter for Trump's people, but like, at least Biden, when he got to points, made some points. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I just don't know what Biden, the Dems saw in behind closed doors that they were expecting him to come out and like pile drive Trump in this debate. Like
do you think he's like the frog in the Looney Tunes where it's like he comes hello, out to my the baby. Debate.
Hello, my darling.
Yeah. And then when he's in public at the debate, he just goes,
dude. Cause it's like, I mean, like I said, with the expectations, my expectations being what they were, I was like, all right, if this is going to be our guy, let's see what he does. And yeah, he made the blunders that I was expecting him to make. And to me, it just, like I said, this whole thing leading up to this reeked to me of, I don't know what, let's say, I don't want to say a lazy Democratic Party, but an arrogant Democratic Party that they did. And now this idea that they're going to get rid of him or he's going to step down before the election in November is asinine. I mean, I've heard that conversation swirling over the past couple days now. And I think that people that believe that that's a possibility are legitimately insane. There's no way. Like we did this whole talk about civics a couple weeks ago. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm throwing my name in the ring.
Okay,
my hat in the ring. I think I'm the guy with the who could take on Trump.
Okay,
but no, I think it's logistically impossible, and I think the idea, and I wanted to actually talk about like who's next in the Democratic Party in like
the later
part of the show. But before we get to that, we'll talk about like the broader election and what's going to happen going forward. But I just want to talk before we go to break a little bit about the Supreme Court.
Okay.
They issued several, this is always the time of year where they issue several decisions. And I just read this book, which I don't want to say the name because then I know my fans will definitely not buy it. And I don't want that to do that to the author.
Should I plug it on my podcast?
Maybe. No, it's called Nine Black Rows by Joan Biskupic. She's the Supreme Court like legal affairs analyst for CNN. And she talks about the court. And what was so interesting in the book is they talk about this guy, Don McGahn, who was Trump's White House counsel. And he was the guy who basically was one of the key people engineering the judicial appointments under Trump. This is all the stuff that the right really cared about and the left didn't.
Yeah.
And that alone, what the courts have done under Trump, not under Trump, but because of Trump. Thanks to Trump. Anybody who says to me, maybe Hillary Clinton was not a good candidate. She should have done this. She should have done that. I go, irrelevant. 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 And if you can still have the arrogance to say that after what we're going through, like you don't understand. You're not an informed citizen. You're just an asshole. Like even more than people who have problems with Gaza, with Hillary Clinton, it was like, but she said that thing 20 years ago. Or she, you just wanted to hate her. Just you put your own hate for whatever reason, if it's misogyny, if it's whatever, ahead of the country. And it was so, and she called everything in those debates. And I mean everything. And that only makes people hate her more. Like Hillary Clinton's one of those people where it's like, I got 100 on the test. Shut your fucking mouth. Like somehow her being right is even worse. Like it's the only thing. If she were wrong, you'd be like, ha ha, okay. When she's right, you're like, you're a fucking piece of shit.
It's like the teacher's pet.
Yeah, except she's a brilliant woman who was she was right.
Yeah,
and it's okay to be the teacher's pet when you're trying to be president because really, who's the teacher? The voters.
Yeah,
and some people are like, hey, I have all the solutions. Vote for me, and it's like. No, I'd rather vote for the guy who's a rapist who has no solutions.
Well, we only thought he was a rapist then. Now we know, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it was just...
He had the benefit of the doubt for a little bit.
He was just trying to impress Billy Bush when he claimed to grab women by the puss.
Right.
But but the Supreme Court, this guy Don McGahn, you know, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about judges or anything about the courts, but he knows I want to win.
Yeah.
And I want to do what's going to make my base... love me more. So it's conservative justices and it's Roe v. Wade. But the interesting thing in this book, other than finding out that Neil Gorsuch is also an asshole, everybody's all up in arms about Sam Alito being a miserable piece of shit. And he is. Neil Gorsuch, though, surprise second most unlikable person. Clarence Thomas's judicial opinion is very unlikable, but he apparently has like charm in like cocktail parties. Yeah. So no, but it's true. That's what I have heard. That just like Trump, if you meet Trump for 5 minutes and didn't know him, like you'd be like, that guy's awesome. Like he walked in and said, oh, look at this big guy. You're doing a pod. You know, we're very into podcasts right now. And I hear you're doing one of the best. Is that true? Is it true? Melania, show him a nipple. Is he doing, he's great podcasts, right? You're learning how to speak English. Look at that. She's learning how to speak because of your podcast. Isn't that great? Enjoy the party. Enjoy the party. There's actually a young woman over there who said she wants to blow you upstairs. So just enjoy Trump Plaza. Goodbye. Thank you. And you go, oh, my God. Like, when can I come back and hang with Trump?
Yeah. Like, coolest guy.
Like, he's just 5 minutes, like, just boom, 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 and I'm out.
Yeah.
And I think Clarence Thomas has that kind of maybe a little bit of charm. I know we know too much about him, but in his circles, he's like a fun guy.
Yeah.
Gorsuch, not so much. But anyway, McGahn gets all these judges in, but when I'm reading this book, which was written in 2023, it was probably written in 2022. It came out in 2023. So it's very interesting because some of the things that have developed have not developed yet. The book kind of ends with abortion, Roe v. Wade being overturned. But the thing that McGahn talked about, because Roe v. Wade, people have to understand, is this 50-year cultural war that Republicans waged that was fodder for the Christian right. And for like that particular, and it became this cultural rallying cry for the for the base, for the conservative religious base of the Republican Party that they had attracted, especially under Reagan. But the deregulation shit, that's the money of the Republican Party. And that's not sexy, but that's fucking huge. And I'm not going to disrespect the women by saying it's bigger than Roe v. Wade, but it's bigger than Roe v. Wade. No, I'm saying it. This will grind our government. What they did was, McGahn was saying, yes, they're pro-life, but I'm really excited about their anti-regulation sort of writings, meaning Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and I think maybe Amy Coney Barrett, but definitely Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And they did it last week with this decision overturning Chevron. And if you're bored by this, I feel like Jon Stewart. And if you're bored by this, that's okay. It is boring, but it's fucking scary. And that's exactly the point. The money Republicans don't need. They needed the votes of the Christian right. So they were like, whatever. I can always, my prostitutes, my girlfriends, and my wives can always get an abortion. I'm not worried about any of that. I am worried about how many billions of dollars will I have. And deregulation Chevron basically let the executive branch, since 1984, this is like one of the most cited cases ever. We learn it in civil procedure, first year of law school. Basically, to sum it up, basically said the executive branch can reasonably kind of delegate enforcement and rulemaking from agencies. Because it's like climate change, I'm the president or I'm a senator. I can't be the expert on every topic. You get somebody who can absorb lots and delegate to people. But in the executive branch, they're basically saying you've been delegating way too much. Congress has to write much clearer statutes, very specific. This is going to grind lawmaking and the executive branch to a halt in so many ways. And people don't realize that, because what I've just said might be boring a lot of people. And that's the point, is that business, it's not boring to them, because they're going to save billions and billions of dollars. They're going to become even wealthier and even more powerful, because all the things that annoy companies, like regulating pollution and taxing and things like all these things that make their lives miserably, because it's like, why can't we just use fucking child labor and pollute the earth and collect a ton of money? Those things are all going to be in jeopardy. But we couldn't even elect the right president in 2016 on abortion, which everybody understands. So now what's going to happen is Chevron being overturned is going to make government even less responsive, even slower. And what's going to happen, Mike, with all those young people when they see, if they think the government isn't doing enough now, what's going to happen when they go, I thought it sucked under Biden. Congress has passed three laws in the last 3 years. What in the fuck is happening? I give up. But you know who won't give up? Business and the religious folks.
I thought you were going to do Republicans. Bill Maher.
And you know who won't give up? That's right, Republicans. But they won't. They'll just keep building on this. And so there is a last stand, even more so than when we spoke about Biden a few weeks ago, as shocking as it is. We are so much more at a last stand for democracy as we know it. And the option is not, well, maybe we'll get a third better way. No. That's not an option. The option is the Trump path, which, as the Supreme Court decided today, as long as it's an official act of the presidency, he can do it. So as I joked with Mike before the show, I wouldn't be surprised to see him throw an old woman down the stairs, but have his lawyer first say, oh, ma'am, this is an official act of the presidency. Bye-bye.
And we call it down the stairs.
Yeah. Look at it. We call it stairs. We call it broken neck. Did you ever see The Exorcist? She's like, felt like the priest. The Catholic priest, they love me. The pro-life, very pro-life. But this is the problem, I think. And then we're just going to talk about, after the break, we'll talk about Biden and the Democrats and what's going to happen in the next few months. But the Supreme Court can be boring. I don't find it boring, but it can be boring, especially when I tell you that the most important case of the term is about regulating industry and things like that. but this is catastrophic. And this, McGann, the reason I brought up McGann is he was like, well, yeah, they're pro-life and the base loves that, but I'm really excited about, like, he was, this has been decades in the making, and he put these people on who knew what they were going to do. They were going to gut the executive and make business even happier. So it's been these two forces working sort of together without working together on the Republican Party. Business, pro-life, and they got everything they wanted from Trump, which is the one reason why I would say, as Steve Okun said last week on the show, it's very transactional. And the truth is, Trump is a horrific piece of shit, and he's only going to be more emboldened if he gets back into office after all this. His court cases are going away. Like that. Yeah, I mean,
of course,
his court cases are going away. Like, they may even go away based on this ruling. The ruling today, one of the things they said was, the not only can you not prosecute him for things done as official acts, you can't use that stuff as evidence against him. So if he's on the phone saying, Zelensky, I'm going to basically burn your country if you don't give me dirt on Sleepy Joe, they might reasonably be able to say, well, he was on a call with a foreign leader. That is part of the president's right. job.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't use that evidence. Like, that's scary and crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just they did get, as Steve said, it was transactional. They got everything they wanted. Like, I can't fully be offended anymore at people who vote for Trump, because the truth is, they may be hypocrites, they may be bad people, but they said, I want this, and Trump gave them that.
Yeah.
And a Democratic president cannot and will not ever be as responsive to the people as Trump can be, because there is such a corrupt, hypocritical sort of soul to the Republican Party. It can be this deal with the devil shit. You can just be like, if you look past my rape, I'll give you tax cuts. Deal. Right? What can a Democrat do? Come on, man. If you vote for me, I'll make America a little bit better. How so? Well, you know, we got like a bunch of people with a lot of different opinions, and we only have 50 senators, so we got to make some compromises. But we're going to do better than I'm not excited, and this doesn't sound good. And then Trump is like, I don't want anybody to have an abortion, so if you let me fuck hookers, no abortion. Deal. Do you know what I mean? It's very simple. It's very transactional. It's very evil.
Yeah.
Whereas the Democrats, it's, you've got to make some sacrifices for the common good. And the Republicans learned through Trump, no, we don't. We can just look past this guy's horrific behavior.
Yeah.
And he'll give us what we want. And so with that happy note, we're going to take our first break, and we'll be back to talk about the future of the Democratic Party, this election, and the end of America. And we're back from break. Mike, how was the break in the new studio?
Same old break. My favorite part of the show.
Yeah. Not a little different? You didn't feel a little different having a break in a new space?
I mean, it's nicer to look at. We have some brick on the walls. You can see in the bottom of your shot down there. I mean, yeah. You know, I do, when I look around this place, I look at all the things that still have to get done, because we just got here literally today. But
and then when they all get done, you're going to move right away, right? Like, as soon as it's
that's
finished,
what happened last time.
As soon as it's finished, you're going to find a new place.
Well, we had to go from the last place. There were a lot of other things that were going on that we talked about.
There's an attractive woman doing a TikTok show that we were on the same slot, and Mike denied me the opportunity for a meet cute. Guy who hates TikTok falls in love with TikTok lady. Wow. Who saw that coming?
Talk about an Amazon Prime show. That's four episodes.
But let's talk, and I apologize if anybody found that boring, that rudimentary Supreme Court decision, but I think part of what we've talked about on this show and what's important is, and I said to Mike during his beloved break, the Supreme Court is boring to a lot of people. We need to find a way to make it interesting. And I don't know what that is. Could Democrats start casting a Supreme Court show? Like, I think that's what we have to do. Like a West Wing, but for the Supreme Court. Aaron Sorkin, call me. Let's do this, because and I hate to admit this, we need to make the Supreme Court. Like, I went to law school because I liked the movie A Few Good Men. It's that simple.
Is that true?
I mean, that was one of the main reasons.
Yeah.
Like, because it just made Rob Reiner, by the way, directed that. God and Country, everybody. Go check it out in the show notes of last week's episode so we get a taste.
Yeah.
But it was movies like that that just made being a lawyer look really exciting and interesting and useful. A movie about me would have everybody quitting law school. But maybe we need an Aaron Sorkin show about the Supreme Court. Like, I don't know what would be a good, what do you think a good title would be for, like, they wear robes, they're justices, conservative Democrat, like some title. And then you cast like a who's who in Hollywood. Duval.
Oh, they have to be. They have to actually look like the people.
No, no. It's like you make a fake Supreme Court.
Fake Supreme Court. That's based on it. You wouldn't want Duval in that.
He's too old.
Okay, all right.
He could play Biden.
Okay, okay.
Michael, when Hunter's smoking crack, you don't let him do it.
Senator, this court owes him an apology.
I'm sorry, President Biden, Joseph Rabinet Biden. I hate your kind. Godfather 2, second best Godfather ever.
I despise your masquerade.
Oh, Senator Pat Geary. Unbelievable. Like that. I love performances like that where somebody just comes in. It's like a relief pitcher.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
99, yeah, 100, yeah. 100.
Yeah. Senator, you can have my answer now if you'd like. My offer is this. Nothing.
I felt like Pacino laid it on a little thick in Godfather 2.
It's the beginning of Scent of a Woman, Pacino. It's not.
You think it started that early?
Well, he's like, there's a lot more yelling in it. Rocco, alive!
That's too much. That's cinema. But when he says to Kay, no, when he says to Robert Duvall, I like it when he says, "Was it a boy?"
Yeah,
because he didn't have the gravelly yet.
Yeah, he didn't have.
So it's his yells sounded good.
Yeah.
Anyway, they need to I think I'm trying to, like, this is the kind of thing a tech billionaire. I'm going to tell you a story.
Tell me.
From 2020.
Yep.
A tech billionaire through his like business intermediary wrote to me. He didn't, but they approached through somebody at YouTube and was like, you know, we think you're making like good, funny content. And we're wondering if we could fund a second channel. That's my trying to trump the internet where I did more, not anymore, but I did that year. I did a lot of like wig and makeup stuff and a little more involved sketches with editing rather than just my cell phone videos. And this guy, obviously he's worth billions. So a check for five figures was not like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But it was this idea of saturating the market with things that would like kind of, you know, like I was doing good stuff and I was like, yeah, I'll take it. It's already what I'm doing. It wasn't like, versus if Gutfeld came up to me and was like, would you do a show with Kat Timpf where you bash the president? And I would say, no.
All right.
Thank you. It's called integrity. But we need something in pop culture to make people more. So I'm saying if a tech billionaire could give me that money, aren't there forces in Hollywood? I mean, let's live up to the fucking stereotype that the right, it's start to be doing some cabal shit.
Yeah.
They already think you're fucking kids and drinking their blood.
Right.
So what if you fund a show about the Supreme Court to start infiltrating the minds of Americans so they start thinking about courts more? Clip this. Here's the thing.
If I get to it.
Yeah. Aaron Sorkin, somebody write him a big check. Let's get this produced. Get it on Netflix. Get it on, you know, Netflix is probably the place you'd want it on.
Yeah.
You know, with a star-studded cast. And you do something to make the Supreme Court, just like the right spent 50 years building up their war chest and corrupting officials and scaring people. You are Hollywood. Just don't tell Vince Vaughn and like Gary Sinise and Mel Gibson about it. And make like a show that's like the hottest show right now. It has people thinking about, and you know what? Fucking put Black Panther on the court.
Yeah.
Okay, just Black Panther is one of the Supreme Court justices.
The actual Black Panther?
Yeah. Like Wakanda Forever got confirmed. Like every demo, get every demo. Jennifer Lopez, Black Panther, maybe one more Marvel, but then you want to start to skew somewhere else. Maybe get just, but all kidding aside, Maybe that's the way. I know that sounds ridiculous, but like they used to do that shit where there's always those rumors of like, was this actually a government funded project?
Like Top Gun?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I loved our country for the 2.5 hours I watched Top Gun Maverick.
It was paid for like 80% by the Navy, I think.
The first one. But when I watched Top Gun Maverick, I felt like Michelle Obama. I was like, for the first time, I'm proud to be an American. But that's my first solution. I know it's outside the box, but if anybody knows a tech billionaire or people who are movers and shakers, the right already thinks you're fucking destroying the country and manipulating our youth and do this. So do it.
Yeah.
It's like double jeopardy. They've already convicted you of cultural crimes. Fucking commit them.
Yeah.
And start making the Supreme Court something people think about. The way lawyers, I guarantee you there's so many lawyers in this country who are like me. Some were deeply moved to get into law. Others were just like, yeah, from like the age of 13, like being a lawyer was this like, I wear cool suits and you know, like, hey, how are you? What's up? And I yell at somebody for 10 minutes and I win a case.
Yeah.
Like you just kind
of. This whole courtroom's out of order.
Yeah. So we got to do that for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hollywood, talk to me. Now, that's why I wanted to talk about what's a boring topic, the Supreme Court, because A, people need to know whether it's boring or not. And maybe we can do something to make it less boring. But now let's talk about the only thing that stands between the Night King and the White Walkers of MAGA. Joe Biden, who kind of, you saw Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes.
Remember King Theoden?
Yeah.
When Grima Wormtongue was talking to him, he was like all gray and then the spell was lifted. Biden looked like him.
He did.
With the spell.
Yes.
And I'm not, I wish I was kidding.
Yeah.
So Biden, we both agree, is not stepping down.
I don't know how they could. I don't know pragmatically how that even would work.
I've already said to Laura, if and when I become president of the United States,
yes,
I don't want you to do a Jill Biden. Now, Jill Biden is protective of Joe and probably proud of Joe. And like me, feels like Joe has never gotten the respect he deserves for his first term. And I think that in my mind, that's what drove him to run again. Is that I've done these big things and everybody's like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll endorse him. We'll see if he runs.
Right.
There were no like full throated, like he kicked ass. If he runs, I'm doing it. Of course I'm endorsing. He's our sitting president. Like when do we not endorse our incumbent? But there was a lot of mealy mouth mishmash from a lot of wings of the Democratic Party. I think that's why part of the reason why he ran again. But I've said to Laura, if I ever get like that, I want you to give it to me straight and say, don't.
Sure.
Let's retire. So,
well, yeah, dude, I know I don't want to cut you off from what you're about
please
to say.
Cut me off.
That is my big, that's also one of my big takeaways from this whole thing is that him looking as old as he looks, again, not a surprise to me, but as shocked as the rest of the world was that he looked the way that he looked. You know, my grandma is about Biden's age. I think they're like a year, maybe 2 years apart. My grandma's like in and out of the hospital, all sorts of health problems. You know, it's not like a glamorous life that she's living right now. And it does make me wonder, why does Biden even want to do this?
I say that about politicians all the time when it's like Chuck Grassley will run for his 19th term in the Senate. He's 900 years old. I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, just go fucking relax and take care of your son. And like,
yeah,
I just don't really understand the need. Because listen, I understand again, there's no precedent. We talked about it before to not give the nomination to a sitting president other than LBJ, who that was his decision. And I don't really understand why the party decided that Biden is the one that is the only one that can beat Trump. Or the opposite possibility, which is that they just were arrogant enough to think that the Trump convictions and, you know, that he'd either be in jail or that would affect America. Like, they're just, if that was actually true, I've speculated on that on this podcast a lot. If that's actually true and that is actually how they viewed this, they're out of touch with the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they didn't think that that would actually matter is nuts, or that it would matter, rather.
Now,
you know?
What I'd like to say is something more simple, and I'm going to relate it to The Godfather, the best of the Godfather movies. Basically, what you would have to say to, in this role, once again, Robert Duvall is in the role of Tom Hagen. Why do you hurt me, Michael? You're out, Tom. That's the conversation that would have to be had with Joe Biden. That's a very tough conversation to have with the guy who just beat Trump,
yep.
who's had a successful first term and has been a faithful servant in the U.S. government for 50 years. That's a very difficult and you would need unanimity action of the party going, get out, Joe. Like, you'd have to have everybody kind of on the same page.
Yeah.
Now, if he had looked, if 2 years ago, 2022, after maybe passing, you know, one of the big bills, infrastructure, he gets up to a press conference and is like, beat Medicare, man. That conversation maybe can start to happen a lot sooner because there, you know.
To replace him as president or replace him as a candidate?
On the ticket, as a candidate. Like, you're not going to kick him out of the office.
Do you think he should be president right now, given what we saw?
Well, you know me. I called him. You laughed at me. I said he's like Gandalf.
I did laugh at you because then I knew this was coming.
A wise elder.
Based off of what you just saw the other night, like I said, I thought it was fine, to be honest, compared to, because I just knew I was going in expecting the worst. So to me, it was better than what I expected. Do you actually, though, based off of just his cognitive functioning skills?
You're putting me on the hot seat, Mike.
What?
This question.
Do you think he should be president at right this second, or should they be asking him to step aside even to finish out his term, and let Kamala Harris be the
well? The problem is, I saw his rally in Raleigh, which I hate saying. I wish he had had a rally somewhere that didn't sound like Raleigh.
Yeah,
a rally in Durham,
sure,
which also sounds like a pun.
Yeah,
I wish he had at least looked like that, which was older. But energetic. His debate, if we're just basing it solely on the debate performance, no.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Because he looks worse than Reagan did in those last years. And the difference is, at least Reagan may have been faking it to get out of prosecution for Iran-Contra. Biden's just, that's what we got.
Right.
That's legit.
But I don't think Biden is like, I think... What we're seeing is regular old people aging. I don't think he's aging like, oh my God, but it was jarring.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people out there and it gets very annoying where it's like, I just did a fucking episode, the case for Joe Biden. Like I am as hardcore a Biden guy as there is. So this, you know, I don't want to get any of these people going like, I can't believe you abandoned Joe. It was tough. It was bad.
Yeah,
visually it was bad, and I'm jealous. The two old guys, I've always said I want to age like. They're very different politically. Trump, I can't believe how crystal clear and loud and energetic that guy is.
Uh-huh.
I am. He. It is.
No booze.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't drink. I feel and look like shit. But he is. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
It, like, I get why people. You think that's a 78-year-old man? Like, when he gets up there,
yeah.
he just... And the other one on the other side, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, sure.
Is a, you know, and I know the Bernie, say jail, then why can't you support? But shut up. The thing about Bernie is, I want to age like that. Like, he is still just, like, booming voice. He moves pretty normally. Like, it's... And some people are just lucky. Some of that can be lifestyle.
Or Jewish. Jews age well.
Oh, okay. Mike is part Jewish, everybody.
I am Jewish, yes.
You know, I think we got to kind of preface
my Grandma
that.
Emma was, but my Grandma Emma lived pretty lucidly until about, I think she was 96 when she died. And she was living alone until her like late 80s. So, I mean, like that, there, I do think there is something there. I do think that, like, Mel Brooks, like, yeah. I do think there is this thing about old Jews. I don't know what it is exactly, but they tend to stay with it. For a really long time.
It's the horns.
Yeah, right.
Energy from them. I think with Biden, when when I saw that debate, it was doubly depressing because I was like, he is in no shape to do this. And I still think I still know I'd much rather have him in the office than Trump, like without question. All Trump did was lie, but he presented much better on TV. So to answer your question, I would say no. I would have liked it if Biden had done almost, you know, George Washington is praised for having set the precedent yes. of giving up the office after two terms.
Yep.
And that sort of set the term. I respect FDR from being like, four terms.
Yeah, right.
In a wheelchair. suck my limp dick. But, oh no, I shouldn't say that. He was fucking, he had a bunch of affairs.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, FDR.
It was Cold Springs, I think. Or Hot Springs, rather.
Yeah, get to, you know what really helps besides this soothing water of these springs? A little head gets me feeling better as well, darling. With a cigarette holder in yep. his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way,
one of our great presidents.
Yes. All he had to do was cut out black people to give liberals what they wanted.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. I made that point before. But but basically, George Washington could have been a king. He could have been our great military leader who gave us independence, and he has proven a wise and solid president to start a country. Stay. And he voluntarily left to set a precedent. That's kind of like his greatest, one of his greatest legacies. Mm-hmm. And Biden could have established 200 plus years later, almost 250 years later. Oh no, that was the Declaration of Independence. You know what I mean though. Yeah. Like over 200 years later, established not a precedent, but I defeated Trump. And I humbly, because everybody knows it takes real humility to give up the power willingly after one term, because I did my job. And only pieces of shit would remember Joe Biden as anything less than like an incredible example of leadership
sure.
and patriotism. And if he has a successful second term via his administration, he still deserves that. He will still deserve that. If he has a successful second term, if he gets elected, he will still deserve it. But this would have been a much bolder history-making choice. Now, that said, if Biden were to step down or should be struck by a bolt of lightning, I'm on board with the Kamala Harris. I'm not on board with the, because I think you can only, and I don't want to say this is just like everybody's like black women are the most loyal demographic to the Democratic Party, and to unceremoniously just go, we know you're the VP and normally it would be the VP, but we want Gavin Newsom.
Right.
And I'm not one of these people who's like, great, another white guy. That's not just any white guy. That's handsome Gavin Newsom. Okay. And he could be my guy for elder care. Remember that episode? I said, you can't have Joe Biden advocating for elder care. It looks too involved.
Why, can I ask, why is Gavin Newsom the guy that people think is like the...
Because California is the sixth biggest economy in the world, or fifth biggest, because he's extremely handsome and eloquent.
But I know so many people from California that are liberal that fucking hate him, that think that he did a terrible job when he ran California.
Isn't he running? He is running it.
Is he still the governor? I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, they think he's done a terrible job.
Well, you know, and they think Joe Biden is Hitler. So
no, they don't. No, they don't. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, but here's the thing. California going for Gavin Newsom, regardless of whether they love him or hate him against Trump. But he presents really well on TV. He's like, but Gavin Newsom is smart. Because what Gavin Newsom will not do is step over a black woman, because he wants to be president one day.
Right.
And that would really hurt him in the future if he shows up all slick and white and going, I respect Kamala Harris, but it's my time, bitch. They'll be like, boo, we'll never forget that. And so I think it's Kamala Harris has to be next. And I know people like, she polls worse than Biden. She does. My theory is this. First of all, I think she gets treated very poorly because she is a black woman. I think she's an attractive black woman, and she's a Democrat, and she's a vice president. It's like a perfect storm of things for a lot of Americans to beat up on. Has she said not crazy things, but has she been sort of mealy-mouthed sometimes expressing herself? Was she a great debater? No. But here's what she has. She has a good resume, and she represents the Biden administration, which a lot of people would say is good, has done good things. But she's youthful and would be history making. And I would challenge people say no, she'll get trounced. I had people on threads telling me this. I had my best friend telling me no, she'd get trounced. Her poll numbers suck. She's not good. I go, watch what happens if it's Kamala Harris to save democracy versus Kamala Harris, the VP without a distinguished role in the Biden administration. When it's Kamala Harris standing between Trump and the White House, I think you'll just magically see a 10-point bump in her approval ratings when she's out there with surrogates. And because it's always, even Biden's numbers were in the tank until it was Trump versus Biden. And then all of a sudden there was just this moderate shift to where, oh, Biden was down 6 points and now he's up one. It wasn't earth moving, but it was this kind of like you frame it differently. Now, I know there's other people on the roster. People want Pete Buttigieg. They want Gavin Newsom. No. They want Gretchen Whitmer. Huh?
No, I'm Buttigieg. I don't know.
I heard Ronnie say she didn't like Pete Buttigieg. But
picking a president. These are like things that are. It's not just like, do I like this guy? Do I think he's fine? It's like, should this person be the fucking president of the United States?
And to me, Kamala Harris, when you are. My suggestion for a ticket was Harris Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Battleground state,
yeah.
Popular governor. You're not jumping over Kamala Harris, so you're not showing it. Because I'm telling you, we have sort of similarly aged women of sort of similar accomplishments, but yeah. One's the VP. How will that look if it has to be to satisfy the Democrats a white savior? I know I don't use that term lightly, because I find it annoying half the time. Like when I watched Killers of the Flower Moon, they changed it so it wasn't a white savior. But I'm like, I read the book. It was a white savior. Doesn't it matter if it's true?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That should factor in if it's true. If the white guy comes to town and saves the day, it shouldn't. That's not being, you know, whatever, racist.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it will be a bad look. And I think... on the margins, I think somebody like Kamala Harris doesn't, even though she's part of the Biden administration, I don't think she has the same Gaza stink, if you will, on her.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we're talking on the margins, I know I'm, the people like me, it's like, Kamala Harris, yes, here's a donation, you got my vote. Like, I don't have to think about it. It's Trump. And I don't mean to disrespect her like that. I'd be like, yes, you were the vice president. It's natural that I would vote for you, especially under these circumstances, maybe not in a primary that takes 7 months.
But this is what I was going to ask you, because to me that seems like the better way that I think that they should have done this in the first place.
Yeah.
They should have given her enough time to run a campaign. Stop and think about it for a second. Nobody's run a campaign in like 6 years.
Yeah.
There has been no campaigning at all. You've just known who the candidates are going to be since what, the end of Trump's last term, essentially?
But that's more the fault of the Republicans, because once again, Democrats are the incumbents. So, but like,
my point is that I think that swapping anybody out with how many months are we away now? Is it five months away?
Like it's beginning of November, July, full July, August, September, October. No, it's 4 months and a few days.
Right. So you're gonna let. I know that the American people have like some kind of rapport with Kamala Harris because she's in office now, but I mean, she would need to run a full campaign. Right. You can't just let her, you can't just be like, I'm in now, and now right. I'm going to be the person that takes down Trump. You have 4 months to, I just don't like that as any kind of strategy. It should be her if they're going to swap
it. At least for continuity, though, yeah. In terms of continuity, it's like she's in the White House, like she's in that inner circle.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and that's, to me, that's what makes it more disrespectful, and why certain demographics would be right to be offended. Like, so you're going to have Gavin Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer come in out of the blue, and have to get caught up to speed on all of this when you have a vice president who is younger. She is younger and more energetic. Obviously, she's telegenic. She has some experience. Is she the best? Is she the greatest orator, et cetera? But do I think a former prosecutor who's 20 years younger than the rapist running for the Republican Party would be an incredible dynamic on stage, an incredible sure. contrast to draw that out? Yes, I do. And I think people love Kamala Harris has been in the spotlight and she's been dragged through the mud, mostly, I think, unfairly. But Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, whoever else people see as like Josh Shapiro, governor, who may make a good president one day. He's a very sort of center left, kind of presents well, but has some good progressive policies as well. Some good working class policies, like, you know, like in Pennsylvania, not requiring like a 4-year college degree for government, like, you know, things like whatever. He's very good. But I think she, like this, I think she is, I lost my train of thought, but I think she's just the obvious choice.
She should be, there should not be any other choice.
Right. And
no, this shouldn't happen.
And
anyway,
I'm sorry, what I was going to say is these other people haven't been put through the national ringer
yet. Oh
so
my God, yeah.
Gavin Newsom probably did some, you're going to find some chick he fucked behind. I think he cheated on his first wife.
Okay.
He was married to Kim Guilfoyle, which is a weird one. Don Jr.'s fiance, that mess of a woman. To me, that's funny. If I were Trump, I'd run ads. I'd be like, Don, you know, we think very highly of you. Very good. You've been a pretty okay son. But your whore girlfriend is a mess. And so we're gonna put ads pretending like they're from other groups, saying, how can you trust Gavin Newsom when he was married to this mess? If that's his judgment, if you can't trust his judgment on puss, are you going to trust him on the government? You can't. So Gretchen Whitmer, I don't think she has, you know, you get pretty vetted. She's a governor of a state, pretty yeah. high profile. But like Kamala Harris has taken all the shit already.
Well, right. It's just like handing it to anybody and being like, you have 4 months, go beat Trump. Good luck.
Right.
It's like, what? But again, it's just like fucking, they haven't done it yet. So, but it would be such a short-sighted strategy. And again, kind of like a lazy, this is your guy, Democrats. Like the party, this is your guy. So there should be more podcast episodes, the
ride,
case for Joe Biden.
and die.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, like I was honestly kind of disgusted the day after the debate to see all of these publications that I kind of considered respected publications running op-ed pieces about how now it's finally time to get rid of Biden. It's like, you guys fucking shilled for him.
I felt like the New York Times, and I say this as somebody who has relatives who work for the New York Times.
Yeah.
I felt like one editorial, one.
What'd they do, like four
I just
the
did
next
a Bill
day?
Maher head thing, I'm sorry. One.
New rule, one editorial. One editor.
Not the whole fucking page. No, but it was like every columnist and the editorial board were like, for the love of God,
yeah,
he must leave. For the love of country, he must leave.
It's like the New Yorker had David Remick on why Biden should step down.
Oh,
now it's like,
David.
Are you fucking people
I
kidding
love David
me?
David Remick, though.
Okay, well, I think a bad take from all of these people.
But
this is the guy. And you, I think that even if it's Kamala Harris, and this was going to be my response to what you said about her being up against the fate of democracy, that's a lot to put on her shoulders. And I do think,
okay,
again,
Mike, but I can do it.
If you think about fucking real Americans and how real simple people think, I think it is a
simple Jack.
I think it is a major show of weakness for the Democrats. Optically, to swap him out now. He's the guy. You made your bed a year ago, you know?
Yeah, I think you're going to see at like the convention, like Kamala Harris in the role of Scottie Pippen and Biden as flu game Jordan.
Yeah.
Just like, come on. Come on, Joe.
Biden literally might have an IV in his arm.
Yeah.
Walking out on the stage.
Hey, man. We can do it. Nothing Americans can't do, they say they're mine too. Come on, man. I know the deal. I know the truth. I know right from wrong. And I know Donald Trump is a mess. And he's an alley cat. And he's not a good guy, man. We got to do better. God bless the troops. But yeah, that's the thing. I look through all these people, and that's the other thing. Joe Biden beat them in 2020. Like, people mm-hmm. always act like, he wasn't coronated in 2020. And people were like, well, you know, Clyburn just said, yeah. Well, you know what? Once black people got involved in the voting process, they had a long relationship with Joe Biden. So they said, we're going to vote for Joe Biden throughout the South. And yeah. that gave him the momentum. And I would be happy. Obviously, that's the thing. I'm maybe not the most useful person because, like, I'm voting against Trump, period, happily. But I would understand a real rage comparable to how some people feel about other issues. Like black women, it seems, never get to, understandably, as in many ways on the low on the totem pole for so long in American history, they never get the chance to just be like, well, fuck it. I'm not voting.
Yeah.
Because there's like this, no, I'm voting.
Yeah.
Like privileged people of all types who get this idea of like, well, I'm not voting. That's why the participation level and is high and the percentage is so high for Democrats. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I don't have, and you know what? If you don't make Kamala Harris the nominee, you jump over her with someone else. I bet you many of them still vote because they're like, I don't have the luxury historically or personally or both to say, no, not my nominee. They're not going to do this to me. They'll say, no, I saw what 4 years of Trump did. Yeah. My pride is not more important than that. And I wish other demographics would take that lesson. You know, like, hey, you're right. Even though I'm mad about this issue, even though I'm righteous and justified in this important issue, what Trump did, like we will be living with the ramifications of Trump. It's like climate change. If we stop carbon today, we got 50 years of fucking hell.
Yes.
Trump, even if he doesn't get elected again, we have the ramifications of him for decades. That's just truth. If he gets elected again, I don't know how long the changes will be and how big the changes will be in the world and in America.
But do you understand now, a couple weeks ago when we had this conversation where I was speaking for the youth of America, the Democrats, the not even independent voters. I'm talking about people that are liberal that want to vote Democrat. It is such a fuck you to put that on the shoulders of the American people, the Democratic people that vote Democrat, to say, yes, we're up against possibly the end of democracy,
and this is
the best we're going
to
give
you. I got to interrupt you, though. Here's the thing that people need to realize, and I'm talking to you, people. This is the point. The point is democracy is always up to you. It is always up to the voters. We have lost that sight.
To what degree, though?
It's called primaries. Joe Biden beat a field of all the people in 2020. Yeah. 2020, he beat all a field of everything we want to see. Lefties, gay, black, younger.
But
old.
We're not talking about 2020. In 2020, I think there was way less people right. that were saying, I don't want to vote for him. I think there are people that were going to vote for him no matter what.
Sure.
And he wasn't ancient. He was old, but he wasn't this old yet.
No, he was like, looking pretty good for an old guy in 2020. Now it's like, you're old.
Right.
But I don't, like, this idea, I can't say, oh, he would have lost the primary. He would have lost the primary. There have been legitimate contenders in primaries. Like, Jimmy Carter got weakened. But Ted Kennedy, charismatic scion of the Kennedy legacy, could not beat him in a primary. He gave this fucking amazing speech that everybody still talks about.
Yeah.
Like, imagine he lost. He couldn't beat the incumbent. And with Trump, there was a calculation of, we've seen the last two times this shit happened. George H.W. Bush got weakened, lost to Clinton.
Yeah.
Pat Buchanan was the spoiler, the he's not conservative enough guy. And Ted Kennedy did it to Jimmy Carter. They both lost. There was a feat that I think shielding Biden a little bit, if you want to call it shielding, not from public, but in terms of a primary, to me was not out of the norm. Like, I don't remember Obama, other than West Virginia, some convict got like 45% of the vote in the Democratic Party in 2012 against Obama. That's when I was like, I think we can write that state off. But there was a little bit of protection for Biden to protect his candidacy. But there was also a protection of, if he is weak, we don't want to weaken him because the chances of him actually not winning the nomination are low. But the chances of us battering him and weakening him for Trump, higher than that. So this idea of like, I think it was a conscious decision of like, the goal is to beat Trump. We have an incumbent, weakening him or putting him through the ringer to satisfy some sort of purity test that if he still won, the Bernie bros would still claim a rigged Democratic Party And then you'd have, you'd be litigating all sorts of shit that you really don't have to litigate when you have the incumbent president.
I think I'm not even talking about having somebody run against him within the party. I'm just saying, I really think it was dumb. And I know there's not a precedent for it, but the plan should have been to give Harris all of the support and let her run a real campaign. And she's also the vice president. I mean, she kind of can do that. It's easier for, I think it'd be easier for a vice president to run a campaign than a president in a lot of ways, right? In theory, the president's a busy guy. He's got a lot of shit that he's got to do. The vice president, I don't even really know what she does, to be honest with you. If I'm being 100% honest,
well, she's a
give her a year and a half to like let people know that the plan is like, I'm going to continue and carry on the Biden legacy. If you like 4 years of Biden, we're going to keep doing the same things. Like, I'm already in the White House with him working on this stuff. I don't know why that couldn't have been the plan. And I wish it would have been. It's not even like a vote against the Biden White House or anything that he's doing. It's just, I just think, there is almost like a, like the Joker, like a joy in seeing all of this. Now it's a scramble. These people had all this time. David Remick had all this time to write these fucking pieces 7 months ago about how maybe we should come up with some other plan. And nobody did it until it's way too late.
Right.
I mean, this, you cannot make a change now. There is no way that somebody.
Ezra Klein was one of the few people. He was on this a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty early, and he got a lot of blowback, obviously, because he's a thoughtful, articulate sort of thinker.
Yeah.
Thoughtful thinker, writer, and he got a lot of blowback because he was early to the kind of, I'm not saying he can't. And Bill Maher has said it best, which is, I think Biden can do the job. I don't think he can run for the job.
Yeah, man.
But to me, I think part of the problem is, and people don't sort of ignore the facts, which is Kamala Harris, just like Joe Biden, was put on the ticket with Obama, not because they had a personal relationship, but because it was the right political balance.
Sure.
I think Kamala Harris was put on with Biden exactly for that reason. Demographically, you want, hey, everybody's tired of old white guys. Well, we're going to put a history-making VP on the ticket. She's younger. She's nice looking. She's half black, half Asian. She's got her own experiences. We had a couple of exchanges during the debates. It patches that up.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and from what I had read like halfway through his term, they never had any kind of real partnership kind of relationship that would have groomed her and kind of coached her into the being the heir apparent. So, I could say that was a mistake. But if Biden never intended, and people always say, act like Biden said he was going to be a one-term president. He never said that. He said a bridge. No.
Yeah,
he said a bridge, but that I never took that meaning I'm going to be one-term president. It would have been nice, but I don't think he ever promised that, and he may not have even ever thought that.
No, but I think a lot of people thought, and I'm sure they're thinking it now if they're going to vote for him, that he is not going to live through this term. I don't have confidence that he will. And I said that a few weeks ago before this debate. Now that I've seen it.
Oh, no, like, you've said it several times on this podcast.
Yeah.
The haters are going to come for us if he does pass away.
I mean, dude, it's just like,
just be sure to comment on the YouTube for the
yes,
algorithm.
Please. I really feel like, you know, you said it was a victory lap or whatever at the beginning of the show. It's like, I feel like I said most of these things that people now are panicking about.
Yes.
Three weeks ago, whenever we did that other episode, and people were in the comments talking about how, like, well, you know, Mike, the youth in this country, blah 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 blah, fucking say what you want to say. Now there's a big panic in this country on the left because they've seen it in action. This thing that, like, we've been pretending hasn't been a big issue for over a year now. And
but I gotta push back on one thing.
Sure,
because before this debate, the big test for Biden was the State of the Union.
Yeah.
And he crushed the State of the Union. Like, he did a great job at the State. Like, the State of the Union, and it makes me, I hate to say this, I think Trump was just jealous and started the drug rumor, but then I'm like, could he have been on something?
But if he was on something, who cares? No, it's not baseball.
But he was great. That's what I think made me reassured going into the debate because I was like, I was nervous before the State of the Union. And then I was like, he was powerful. He made his points. He jab back and forth with people. And that's the scary thing about old age, is that it can hit you like a freight train and you don't know. The problem with that analogy, though, is that the next night he looked with it again. Do you think the Republicans poisoned Joe Biden?
No, but I think it's the same as when now, like, my dad visits my grandma and she calls him by his brother's name and doesn't realize that she's talking to Alan instead of Emil. Like, I think it's that. I know that because they're not that dissimilar in age. You're right. Talking about people like my grandma cannot run the country. My grandma can't really live by herself anymore.
That's sexist.
No, but I'm just saying it's ageist, if anything, JL.
And sexist. You didn't bring up your grandpa.
I never saw my grandpa live to 82 years old or 84, wow. However old it is. He died when he was 71. Smoked a lot of cigarettes. Huh. But this is the thing, man. And I think this is why, like, I got some heat from listeners a couple weeks ago. But, like, this is why I said all of those things that I said, because I feel like I've been paying attention for the last couple years. And I feel like everything that I've called so far on this podcast is happening. Up to the point, I'm hoping that it's not true, but up to the point where, like, I have no faith that Biden will win. If they replace him, I think he'll lose. I think Trump's going to win this election. I really do. And I don't know what it's going to be like, how they're going to get him out after 4 years. Like, I am frankly pretty nervous about what's going to happen, because I don't think, like I said, I thought he'd degrade at the debates, because I don't know what you guys were expecting.
Can you Zoom with me from Canada, like when I'm in Canada for the show?
We might both be in Canada. We might just be moving the whole studio to Montreal.
Oh, nice.
For all I know.
Le Slickback Studios.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't think there's any resolution to be had here.
No,
I think it's a nervous time for a lot of people. I think it was a little overkill with the Joe Biden must get out, but I also think those were real thoughts and real emotions, not just clickbait. But I'm with Biden, and I'd be with Harris if that's who it is.
I'd be with Marvin the Martian if it came down to it, you know. Yeah.
But if it's Trump, you know, I think I got to get out of here before you, because as I've joked, that's the only time I'll ever get recognized as the premier Trump impersonator. It's when the firing squads come through. Somehow Baldwin and James Austin Johnson will all be safe.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, the big guy. I always thought the big guy did the best one, so take him out first. So
Shane Gillis, we like him. He said that thing about Asians.
Yeah, Shane Gillis is not woke. He's not woke. He's a tough guy. We like him. He can come to the White House with his family. So I think on that, that's a depressing note. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the concluding remarks for the show. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Mike, how was that second break?
Just as good as the first one.
Okay, good. This is obviously the time when we talk about Comedy Talk. I just want to remind the listeners and the producer that Supreme Court part would make a really good clip. And time is of the essence because their term ends this week. Yeah. So we don't want another Henrik Lundqvist incident. Listen, JL, next season I'll still be doing Ranger games so you can do the impression. When I see Igor Shesterkin blocking the puck, I think this is a very talented goalie. So the point is, guys, Comedy Talk. I wanted to talk about the punchdown of the week, but it's not the usual punchdown. You know, usually I just read and blast a fan or a follower or a stranger for trying to improve a joke or say something to clarify whatever. But this week, I want to give a special shout out to everyone who's ever said, "Hey, man, I'm going to try and make your show." In my 21 years of doing comedy, the "I'm going to try and make your show" people, guess how many shows they've come to, Mike?
Not many.
Zero. And oh, okay. Thank you for allowing me that, because you could have guessed zero and you know you would have ruined the reveal. The
bit, yeah.
Because that's what, like,
this is the comedy part of the show.
Yeah. Laura is the type of person who I'll, you know, you'll say, "Oh my God, guess how much money I made on Cameo this year?" And she'll go, $900,000. And I'm like, "Well, no. No, not even close to that."
Saying that with her fingers crossed and her eyes closed.
Right. Like, I'm like, "No, not even close." But now when I tell you, all of a sudden the large amount of money I've made will seem like a pile of shit.
Yeah.
Because you just had me on the cusp of millionaire status. And but it's a real pet peeve of mine. It's one of my greatest pet peeves in comedy is the people who volunteer. And I don't know the point of that. Sometimes I think, are you trying to get comped? Like, I've had multiple people ask me, "How do I do a cameo? I want to get a cameo for you. How do I do it?" I'm like, "You're 40 and you've used computers for 25 years. You know how to use an app. I know what you're doing. You want a freebie."
Well, if working with you is any indication, they might not.
Yeah. But the "I'm going to try and make it" people, I don't quite know what the point of that is, because they never make it. But I don't know if it's just kind of like, "Hey, I see you're doing something. Hey, in case it's good, I want you to know I almost was part of it. So maybe I can get some residual credit for boosting your spirit."
Sure.
And they're, I think, worse. I think they're worse than the people who go, "I can't make your show, sorry." First of all, who are you? And why are you giving me bad news? I don't know you. Like, I've had friends do it, which is okay. Like, if I'm going to be in their city somewhere in the country and they're like, "Oh man, I'm going to," that I get, because there's a pre-existing relationship.
Yeah.
But when, you know, Twitter account like at, you know, Delaware River Monster 38, it's like, "Oh, I was going to come to Philly, but I can't. Have a good show tonight." I'm like, I didn't need to know that.
Yeah.
I don't need bad news. You don't need, but the "I'm going to try" people are the worst, because I always know you're not going to make it. And it's worse than the people who tell me they're not making it, because what you're doing is pretending like you're going to make it, but I still know you're not going to make it. So to wrap this one up, I did watch a comedy special, Mike.
Okay.
Keith Robinson, called Different Strokes on Netflix. Mm. Wasn't bad. You know, I know he had a stroke and people are gassing it up, and he's always been a funny guy. I think it was good. It was like, you know, it's not really, obviously he has like speech issue, but it doesn't really affect, it slows some things down, but it really doesn't affect it. But I just thought it was like, this was fair. You know, I just want the people to know that even if you've had a debilitating life experience, you don't get a break on this podcast. You get the real talk. You get the real opinion. So it was okay. Take it or leave it. It'd be my review. Like, if you can watch it, it's not going to be like, "Oh, this sucks." But it's like, fine. Had some good laughs. But overall, read a book. That's always my advice to people now. Read a book. Maybe on the Supreme Court. Okay? Let's make our country better. And it starts with you. Mike, do we have any housekeeping to go through?
No, my camera actually just went out. So,
whoa, yeah. It's all me.
Yeah, it's all you.
Okay. Well,
I would just say,
I'll do the plugs.
Go ahead.
Okay. The plugs, everybody. If you watch the show on YouTube, we appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to my channel and leave a comment, give a thumbs up. And if this episode is to your fancy or another episode, share that one. That's the great thing about YouTube or the podcast. You don't have to just be like, "Here." You can just be like, "Hey, you might like this one." And maybe that gets them hooked. And if you're a viewer, if you're a watcher on YouTube, nothing should be stopping you. We got a couple of new reviews. We got like 3 new reviews on iTunes.
Great.
So
Apple Podcasts.
Right. If you're a YouTube person, If you're first of all, if you're an audio person and you haven't left a review on your preferred platform, please do it.
Yeah.
But if you're a YouTube person, while you're watching, get on your Spotify or your Apple Music and leave a nice review for the show. I'm told it helps, not with my mental health, but maybe with the podcast.
And go ahead, get, if you've made it this far into the show, get on those YouTube comments and tell me I'm right, that I've been right all along.
And I don't know what we're going to title this episode, The Future of America.
We'll see.
But
find something sticky.
Share it with a friend. It feels nice when you comment and tell me you love the show or you think what I'm saying is great or whatever. But all the more reason then to share it. I already know I'm great. Let a stranger or a friend know, and we can all be happier. So on that note, thanks, Mike. Thanks, listeners and viewers. And I will see you next Thursday.